Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our indoor service. If you're a guest, so glad to have you. Thanks for choosing Open Door and being with us today. Thanks for praying for Kay and I. We had a good trip to Phoenix. We were celebrating Mercy Hill Church, our church plant there. They had their fifth anniversary, and the church is doing very well in a downtown urban setting, serving the people in downtown Phoenix. And we'll pray for them as they continue a good work. They are praying for us, and so very grateful that we were able to celebrate with them, as well as a number of our Pillar Network churches. We had a good meeting also. Today, the hearts of the Open Door Church family are broken over the loss of a precious child, Ty Williams and Travis and Liz Williams are dear friends to Open Door Church. Travis is one of the elders at North Wake Church, and that church is hurting today. And they are hosting a funeral for Ty, who drowned tragically just a couple of days ago this afternoon. And so please be in prayer for the Williams family. Be in prayer for North Wake Church, the greater Southeastern Seminary family. These are sweet and precious people, and they have had an incredible loss. And so if you don't mind, just one more prayer this morning. I just want to ask God to bless the service today. Father, it is beyond our understanding of what it means to lose a child that you so dearly and desperately love, one who had so much a life on this earth, and Father, the grief, I'm sure at times, is seemingly unbearable for the family. Would you please, by your Spirit, comfort and help? We pray for the entire church family at North Wake. We love them. They are dear brothers and sisters in Christ to us. And we pray that you might comfort them as well. And Lord, I pray that in all of this, that the death of this precious young man would result in the furtherance of your gospel, and that it would increase all of our hope for a better life to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Ty was just around the age of Lucy when he also placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be his Savior, knowing now that he is in the presence of the Lord. And this is just another tragedy and another reminder, we've had so many of them in 2020, that need to cause us to loosen our grip on this present earth. These types of events should help us to unfasten our heart's desire for this present temporal earth and to long for a better life to come. I love that song that we sang, that Jesus is better, and he is. He's better than anything in this world. And what we're going to be studying the next 5 weeks is about heaven. And I'm going to do my very best to convince you that heaven is better than this world. And you may think that's silly. Why do I have to convince you? I have to convince you because I'm not convinced you want heaven more than your life right now. I'm not convinced. Matter of fact, I'm pretty convinced that for most of the time, you want to remain on this earth a while longer and not be in heaven. And so my job, it should be really easy, right? To convince you to want heaven more? Well, it's actually going to be a bit challenging. And I think part of the problem is that there are too many misconceptions about what heaven will be like. And so I'm not just going to take a week or two to talk about heaven. Now, we're going to keep talking about heaven until this year ends. And the Lord willing, 2021 will be more like heaven than what we've experienced in 2020. But I want to take enough time to set before your eyes and your heart's desires of what is coming and coming, we pray, soon. Now, let me then ask you personally, why don't you long for heaven more than you do? Why? Is it there's just too many things you still want to do in this life? There's too many expectations you that are still yet unfulfilled in this world? Why is it that you don't long for heaven more, don't think about it more? And why is it that you're not investing your life now as if you will receive rewards later instead of receiving rewards now? Revelation 21 and 22 tell us this. The culmination of God's redemptive history will be the resurrection of God's universe, which will be inhabited by Christ and his resurrected church, enjoying eternity and giving him glory forever. Now that's a mouthful. I want to say it again. The very end of the Bible, we learn this truth, that the culmination of God's redemptive history will be the resurrection of God's universe. It will be inhabited by Christ and his resurrected church, enjoying eternity and bringing him glory forever. What I want to show you today in Revelation 21, the first five verses today, I want to show you the reality of heaven. Now, again, part of my goal in these next several weeks is to make heaven more real than your present reality. That's a challenge because we are, in many ways, blind to the reality of heaven, especially the heaven that is coming. And now, if the heaven that is coming is real, then the only way I can say it is it's more real than this life. It's more real, not less real. So I need you to put away everything you've ever seen about heaven in a cartoon or in a movie. Every misconception that you have had, we need to bury so that I can show you that there is a future reality and it is more real than this present life. First, let's consider heaven as a physical reality. The Apostle John now has written this lengthy apocalyptic book. And throughout the book, he basically has these series of visions, vision after vision after vision. And I've been walking through these visions with you for an entire year. And now we get to the last. For the very last time, the Apostle John, and the very last time in the Bible, we hear, "Then I saw." This is the last vision. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, at the end of all things, then we will all face eternity. And there are two eternal states: eternal heaven and eternal hell. The eternal hell, as we know now, is called the lake of fire. It is a forever place that has been destined and designed for Satan and his demons, and along with them, for every single person that dies in their sins. Dying in their sins. And that forever place that we call hell or the lake of fire will be a place of constant conscious torment and suffering. And we must warn everyone that we meet not to go there, but rather to place faith in Jesus. And John, after he saw this terrible vision of the future eternal lake of fire, he was given another incredible and even much more amazing and glorious vision of the future heaven which is to come. Now, here's what you cannot do. I don't want you to make these two things equal. Don't make the future eternal hell equal to the future eternal heaven. Don't ever make Satan equal to Jesus or to God. Hell, even in its eternity, will be small and insignificant and diminishing and vanishing and isolated and dark and lonely. Where heaven rather will be radiant and glorious and thick and dense and real, and God will be there, and we will finally be able to worship him right in his presence, and Jesus will be there. It is so much greater and stronger that heaven is everything. And hell, we would just simply have to say, is nothing. And John, he catches this vision that he's hardly able to describe all of its glory. And so he pictures it as a beautiful illustration, like a bride prepared on her wedding day as she walks down the aisle to meet her groom. John saw the new heaven coming down upon a new earth in all of its beauty and radiance and glory. Now, look closely. When John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, let's think about that. What we should consider is that by the use of the word new, we should probably consider this as that which has been renewed. Or even better, let's use the word resurrected. Resurrected. What John saw was a renewed heaven or a resurrected heaven coming down to a renewed or a resurrected earth. Now, some of you might have thought prior to this that at the end of all time, that the present universe, along with the present heaven, will be completely annihilated. It will be dissolved. And I love the King James Bible, but I actually think that it misrepresents what is going to happen at the end of all time, not that the universe will be dissolved or annihilated, because God is not a God who annihilates, but rather our God is a God who redeems, who renews, and who resurrects. Because when it says that the first heaven and the first earth passed away, we have to consider that in the same way that we talk about our loved ones who die on this earth and we say they pass away. Knowing that if they died not in their sins, but they died in Christ, that even though they have passed away, that they will one day be resurrected, that their bodies will come back to life, and they will experience a renewal and a complete transformation and enjoy the presence of the Lord in heaven forever. People pass away, we bury them. Jesus returns, they're resurrected, and they enjoy life forever. Well, in the same way, I believe that this present universe, in all of its glory, completely corrupted by sin, decaying, will one day pass away, so that the God of the universe, who created all things, will recreate, renew, or resurrect a new universe out of this old one, and a new heaven out of the temporary one. And these will be eternal realities. And so, how then should we think about this current earth and the current heaven? Well, we should think about them as being real but temporary. This current earth is a real place. You are real people, but this is all temporary. This is all transitional. We shouldn't say this present earth is our home, but this earth, once it's resurrected, will be our home forever. No, currently we are just passing through, and eventually we will pass away. But just as our actual bodies will be resurrected, I believe this present earth, that right now, if you understand what Paul was trying to say in his letter to the church at Rome, that even the earth is groaning for its redemption. Right now, this earth is falling apart. Oh, we witness it all the time. And it is groaning for its redemption. It was initially created to exist as a paradise forever, but it has experienced the curse of sin like we have experienced the curse of sin. But God is going to be able to remove the curse. He's going to remove it. And he's going to allow this present earth to pass away, and then he's going to restore and renew and resurrect a new one. And so this current place that we live on is temporary. Now, we need to do the best we can to steward it. We were made to steward it and steward it well. But even our best efforts will fail as this earth continues to crumble because of its corruption. Now, the present heaven, I'm also telling you that the present place that we call heaven is also temporary. Do you mean, is it not heaven? It is heaven, but it's a temporary, it's a transitional heaven. It's not the eternal heaven, the New Jerusalem, that will come down upon a renewed earth. You see, heaven today, which, by the way, is a much better place than being here on earth, because, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is to do what? Gain. Because when we die, though absent from the body, we will be in the presence of the Lord. And our spirits will finally be set free from corruption and sin. But even in heaven, when a loved one passes away and they are in the presence of the Lord, they are still without their physical bodies. And God made us to enjoy both our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies. And so everyone who is presently in heaven is awaiting the resurrection. They're awaiting it. And when Christ returns, right, the dead in Christ will rise, and there will be a complete completion and glorification of those saints who are spiritually with the Lord, and their bodies In the very same way that for 3 days, Jesus was absent from his body when he died on the cross. When Jesus, on that resurrection Sunday, was reunited with his body was glorified. It was Jesus. And eventually the disciples knew it was Jesus, but there was something different. He was glorified. And just as Jesus was glorified, spirit and physical body reunited together forever, Jesus becomes what the Bible calls the first fruit of or the promise that we will experience the same. And so the present earth, the present heaven, temporary. The reality of our eternity is something that John saw, and it was amazing. He says that I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. So he sees a real physical entity coming down upon a real physical entity. It is a physical reality, and I'm stressing this because I absolutely need for you to get rid of this concept that heaven is not a physical place. You're not going to be some spirit being with wings floating on a cloud playing a harp. How does a spirit play a harp? I don't know. You're going to be you, perfected. You're going to be you, glorified. You're going to be you, made like Jesus. It's going to be a physical place. And that's so important. Because one of the draws that we have currently is the enjoyment of a physical reality. We like to live. We like to eat. We like to walk. We like to play. We like to do all of these with our physical bodies. You will do all of those things and more, completed, perfected, radiant, and glorified in heaven forever. It's just going to be so much better. And I need for you to start now doing what we talked about way back in January as we were thinking about avoiding secularism as Christians. It's so dangerous to forget that there is a greater reality above this current reality. And I want for you to start doing something, if you would. Do it for the next 5 or 6 weeks as we're finishing Revelation. And this is what I call a double take. A double take. So anytime you experience something good, I want you to say, this is good. How much greater will heaven be? If you eat something and you say, wow, this is good. Oh, how much better will food be in heaven? Oh, man, I really had a good time with my friends. How much better will heaven be with our friends? Oh, what a good time. How much better will there be as we experience time? And I think we will experience it in good times in heaven. Start making that double take, if you will. And then when you, in the reverse, experience something that's tragic or difficult, again, the double take. How difficult that was. Oh, how much better heaven will be. If we could start now bringing the reality of our future eternity down to this life, I think that we would live with such a better perspective. John saw it. And the way he described this new reality coming down upon a renewed earth was like a wedding. I have performed, I've lost track, maybe around 100 weddings in my ministry lifetime. And in many ways, they all have differences, but in many ways, there's some similarities. And here's the one I think constant in any wedding that I've ever officiated. As the bride is approaching, coming down an aisle or whatever venue, you know, we're hosting this, when the bride begins to approach, I always look at the eyes of the groom. And when the groom sets his eyes upon his bride, it's almost always a similar reaction. And the reaction is, wow. I mean, this man has seen this woman hundreds of times, probably thousands of times. But never like this. Never like this. No, when she walks down the aisle, he's amazed. And it's hard for him to take in the radiance of this bride's glory. It's a beautiful thing. And so John, he sees this new Jerusalem coming down, and he's just like, this is it. This is just like a bride who has spent a lot of time preparing herself and adorning herself to meet her groom. And in heaven, finally, finally, the bride and the bridegroom will be united in a marriage forever. And John, he sees this, and he's awed by it. This is our future home. My wife, she loves watching home improvement shows. I mean, we're crazy enough to buy a fixer-upper, right? And so there's always something to fix or repair. And so she loves watching these shows, and she loves watching the shows, especially when they're doing like this radical home makeover. And then what happens often in these shows is the family or the couple, they leave for a little while, and then the crews come in and they radically renovate the house. And then they bring the couple back in, you know, and they're there, and there's boom, and there's this big reveal. And what happens at times, as I'm watching these shows with my wife, they'll walk into their house now. It's their house. They know it's their house. They walk into their house and they go, whoa, I can't believe this. And they will even say things like, I can't believe this is my home. That is what we will say about this planet for eternity. When God gives it a dramatic, transformative makeover, we're gonna go, wow. Wow. I can't believe that I will live on this planet and in this new city forever and ever and ever. Our future heaven will be a physical reality. And you will be a physical reality. It will be more real than this temporary one, and we should live today as if we will be there tomorrow. Live today as if tomorrow you'll be there. Now, even greater than that, heaven will also be a relational reality. One of the things that makes hell hell is no relationships, no family. But one of the things that makes heaven heaven is family and relationships, and especially a renewed relationship with our God. John says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne. Now, John hasn't heard a loud voice from the throne room of God since Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, where God, in the center of the present heaven, right there, his throne room, with all of the elders and the glorious angelic creatures, you know, flying around him, God says, I am the beginning and the end. And now we don't see that again until right now, where John hears from this very same place, from the throne, God Almighty speaking. And he says, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them. And he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There won't be any mourning or crying or pain. These all have passed away. There's that language again. So John now is bearing witness, I think, to the most important aspect of heaven. God will be with his people forever and ever. Now, the whole of the Bible is about this. The whole of the Bible is a story about God wanting a people of his own possession, where he has said from the Old Testament scriptures all the way to the end in the book of Revelation, I will be your God, you will be my people. I will be your God, you will be my people. That's what makes heaven heaven. And God has always desired that. He has always desired to dwell with his people, even after sin. That's why he told Moses, as the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, living in tents, he said to Moses, build me a tent. I'm your God. I want to be with my people. Y'all living in tents? Build me a tent. They called it a tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there was a courtyard and a holy place and a most holy place. And God would, not long, not often, but God would visit that most holy place and dwell with his people. Now, not everybody could be in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, only the high priest could, and only once a year and only for a brief moment. But still, nonetheless, God had this desire to be with his people. Later, when Jerusalem was conquered, and then David, and then Solomon, and Solomon built this glorious temple, and again, a holy place and a most holy place, so God could be with his people. He's always desired it. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah all declared, I want to be with my people. I want my family. And finally, now, God will be with his people, will be with us forever. What a thing that is. Heaven will be a relational reality. And what a family reunion it will be. I tell you, it is heartbreaking for me to have to experience Thanksgiving in 2020, where entire cities are saying you cannot have a family reunion on Thanksgiving. There's just something fundamentally wrong about that. But in a sense, that's what it's like right now. Because we're not with our God in heaven. But one day soon, we will enjoy that family reunion, and God will say now, finally, for eternity, I will live with you and you will live with me. And then God will do something so amazing. He will completely remove the curse of sin. Completely. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more suffering. No need for tissues or Kleenex or handkerchiefs. In heaven, there'll be no sadness. There'll be no sorrow. No hospitals, no medical offices, no funeral homes, no graveyards. No mourning over death, no crying over loss, no experience of pain, physical or spiritual, ever. Ever. And in every painful experience and emotion will be removed, buried with the passing of a former age, only replaced with joy and gladness and laughter and singing and worship. It is finally the place where God's going to make everything right. And he will make everything right. You know you have somebody who loves you when they're right beside you and they wipe away your tears when you're hurting. That's what God's going to do with you. He's going to say, let me take all this away. Let me just take all these burdens and let me just remove them from you. Just get rid of these. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more burdens. All will be gone. All will be gone. And God will, he will visit us, live with us, and enjoy heaven with us forever and ever. And again, we know this is true because throughout the Bible, God has desired to dwell, or some of the old languages, to tabernacle with his people. Even the giving of his son, Jesus, whom John, in the first chapter of his gospel account, said, and God, the Son of God, the Word, became flesh, and he tabernacled, he dwelt with us. And John said, we all saw his glory. That was a promise that when he returns, we will dwell with him forever and ever. Finally, heaven will be a true reality. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And God himself told John to write this. He says, write this down, for these words are faithful and these words are true. The words are faithful because God is faithful. The words are true because God is truth. And so we can trust in them and we can believe in them. And if God is going to be this faithful to us, how faithful should we be right now to him? Friends, let's start removing the barriers that are keeping us from desiring a better life and a better world to come. Let's make that reality more important than this present one. Father, bless those who have heard these faithful and true words today. Grant us your desire for us to desire you and to bring you glory in that amazing place forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.